Hey, good morning. Good to see everyone. You ready for a good sermon? God wrote it. All right, great. If I blow it, that's on me, but he wrote an amazing sermon. I may mess this whole thing up. Welcome to 2025, the year of invitation. Last year, yeah, praise God, right? Listen, if you're brand new, this is an amazing time to jump on board and kind of go on this journey with us. That there is so much excitement in the air. If you've been around Bridgeway for quite a while, we've seen more movement in the Holy Spirit, more excitement than we have in the last decade. So this is an amazing time to be a part of what God is doing around here. And if you are just joining us, we do yearly themes around here. We go out on a retreat together and try to discern what area of discipleship God would like our church to grow up in. And then after we discern that concept, we search God's word for the books that would best tell us how to grow in that area. And so what I wanted to do this morning is really kind of lay out the year for you, so you get a chance to know what we're looking forward to and some of the exciting things that are coming up. I believe that God has more for us. I'm always gonna be that guy. That God has more for us. I don't care where you're at in your spiritual development. I don't care where you're at in your Christian life. There's more. Because God is infinite and he's so creative and he's so deep that we're always gonna be having more. But I believe there's more for our marriages, more for our parenting. There's more in our friendships. There's more in how we interact through school and how we interact through our jobs. There's just more. And the way we get to engaging with more is aligning with the Lord. So here's the things that we have planned out for you this coming year. Next week, we are kicking off an 11-part series called The Greatest Hits, and it is through the book of John. We're gonna be highlighting some of the pieces that were missed in our Gospel of Mark series. All last year, we did the Gospel of Mark line by line, but John covers a couple other teachings that are not included. And in those, Jesus does some famous and powerful invitations to people. And I would suggest that you know one of them by heart. And that is, Jesus said to the religious folks of his day, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So it's those types of invitations, the "come to me, I am the bread from heaven," or "come to me, I'm the light of the world." These invitations to have a deeper walk with Jesus Christ, those are laid out in John. We're gonna hit one after another. And the greatest thing about it is every sermon will be designed for you to invite friends and family that have never interacted with Jesus before. That this is an invitation series, meaning that we're gonna make sure that they get a chance to feel included, that nobody has to feel like they're on the outside looking in, nobody has to feel left behind. We're just gonna start from ground zero and build it around so that everyone can feel welcome. I really hope that you're here this next week, and if you get a chance to invite somebody, that would be beautiful. But I believe that it's going to be a series that's going to kind of change our church. I would suggest to you that when we go through this series, this is a time to really pray and say, "Lord, who needs to go on this journey with me," right? Who are the people around me that I love so deeply and I wish that they too had a walk with Jesus Christ? Remember, we never invite somebody into Christianity for any other reason other than we care deeply about them and that we want the best for them. Right? Because God is the best for them, right? Then we're gonna do a little bit of training, a couple weeks training on how to share our faith in a little bit more of a natural and winsome way, that we're gonna have some of that. And then we're gonna launch a series, a 16-part series in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. If you've ever read that, that's a story that kind of chronicles the first kings of Israel, Saul and David. Both were invited by God into leadership. One went great, one went terrible. What was the difference between the two? Many of us are going to be invited by God into a new role, a new assignment this year. And I wanna know, are you ready for that? Do you even know how to handle that? How would you handle power? How would you handle influence? How would you treat people around you, underneath you? How would you handle any of those situations? Because if you are primarily inward focused, it's gonna go one way. If you're primarily vertically focused on God, it's gonna go a different way. We're gonna dive into that. And the application there is just making sure that we're ready for the invitation of more in leadership. We're gonna follow that through the end of summer in a New Testament book called Titus. We'll be walking through an 8-part series to learn about God's invitations to his children to go deeper with him and how to live a victorious Christian life every day. It's not just a once in a lifetime. It's not just a, wow, I had this great college experience. It's not, I had a summer camp. It's how do we do it on a day-by-day basis and have that life of victory. And then we close out the year in the fall and the winter. We close out the year with an 11-part series walking through the book of Joshua. As Israel took over the promised land, it was difficult. It was met with incredible resistance. And sometimes when God wants to make a change in your life, there's gonna be some pretty heavy resistance. And we're gonna have to walk into his victory by making some pretty tough decisions. What I'm talking about is things like addiction. How do we walk out of addiction into freedom? How do we walk through a bad marriage into something that is good and joyful? How do we walk from a toxic relationship into something healthy? How do we handle some of the baggage of our past that feels like it is still grabbing onto our soul? We're gonna take all the stories we learned from them and apply it to today to figure out what would it look like to fight the good fight for victory, amen? Does any of this sound good to you? Yeah, it's gonna be awesome, I'll tell you that. All right, now, what I'm gonna do this morning is kind of give you a foundation, a paradigm by which to have success all year long. We're gonna talk about what invitation is, how to hear the voice of God. We're gonna talk a little bit about what types of invitations that God's gonna give us. If you are a note taker, I want you to make sure to do what Pastor Brian just shared with us, which is, and especially if you're watching online, go to info.bridgeway.church. That's info.bridgeway.church. That gives you an access to taking notes along with us. For the rest of you, take out your paper, pen, whatever. I don't care if you brought a laptop, desktop, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Bring it, okay? All right, fantastic. All right, so I want to begin by sharing this very simple premise. Our God is an inviting God. And what that means is that God can do anything on his own. He does not need us to exist. But he doesn't want to do it alone. He wants to involve his family. Why? Because we bond with him along the way. The most common story that I share, and if you've been with me for a long time, you've heard this over and over and over, the most common story I use to explain our interaction with God in ministry is that many, many years ago when my daughters were young, I'm going to say they were around 3 and 6, 4 and 7, something to that degree. And I was encouraged by my wife that I wanted to go out and weed. Now, it just came to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't even have that plan for today. But anyway, I knew it was right. So I was gonna go out and weed. Our side yard was terrible. It was dismal, and there's a bunch of weeds to pull. Well, I invited the girls to go out with me. Now, here's the interesting thing about little children. They are terrible workers. They were no use at all, right? Their little baby fingers couldn't lift up a weed and try to pull it out. They just break off the top, which is basically just trimming your weeds so they grow stronger next time, right? And so while Jill, the older one, was trying to help me on that one, the little one lost interest completely and thought, this is ridiculous. So Andy went over into the newly planted flower bed and removed those and put them in the bucket, which was very unhelpful. Now, why in the world did I bring my kids to weed? It's because I just wanted them to be around Dad. That's why. I was never expecting them to be the performance. I never expected them to actually do the weeding. I just wanted them to be with me. And that's ministry, you guys. Ministry, we are not to carry the weight of ministry on our shoulders. Oh, if I don't do it right, not enough people are gonna get saved. You're never gonna save anybody anyway. God's gonna save people. He's the savior, not you. What he does, he says, hey, I'm going to go do something exciting. Hey, kiddo, do you want to come with me? Let's go change the world. That way we can feel the value of it. There are some things God's never going to do on this planet until you're ready to go. He'll just hold off on it and just say, okay, I guess we're not doing that today. But it doesn't create a weight upon your shoulders because you're not in charge of outcome. What we are to do is to feel valuable by being with our Heavenly Father, but not to feel burdened by being with our Heavenly Father. Does that make any sense? All right, so here are the five great invitations of God. If we're going to try to figure out if God is inviting us into something, what would they sound like? What would they be like? Well, there are hundreds of invitations. They just tend to fall into five general categories from my estimation. So I'm going to kind of read these out to you. If you take notes, write these down. Here we go. Number one, the first great invitation of God, let me rescue you. Let me rescue you. This is the salvation call. This is a call to open our hearts to the Lord for the first time and allow him to save us. This is about receiving Jesus into our hearts, getting a new identity as a child of God, and so much more. When God calls out to every human being, how do we know that? Because God said that he loved the world so much that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. The Bible says that it is God's will that none shall perish, but all have eternal life. In other words, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. In other words, mankind is without excuse. God has given a call out to all of his creation, let me save you. Let me save you from your past. Let me save you from your present. Let me save you from yourself. Let me save you from your sins. Let me take away that which is killing you and destroying you and allow you to walk into life. Every single human being needs to respond to that invitation. Let me save you. That call is always followed up by this second call. Write this down. Know me. Know me. This is an invitation to relationship. It's an invitation to a personal, intimate connection with the God of our universe. It's done through invitations to prayer, sharing our heart with him, venting with him, talking with him, shared experiences with him. Because the more we know, the more rightly we will worship. The more we know of God, the more we will bond. Relationships are always created through shared experiences and communication. That's how we grow with the Lord. God is not interested in you simply knowing about him. He wants you to know him experientially. That's where the bonding comes into play. The third great invitation of God is the little bit longer. It's this. Let me transform you into what I intended. Let me transform you into what I intended. This is the fancy religious term of sanctification. This is about God making us into the people he built us to be. And in order to do that, it means he has to change our beliefs, change our thoughts, change our behaviors, change our lifestyles. This is that metamorphosis, because we were born broken and we've kind of walked ourselves into some crazy habits and crazy beliefs. We believe some things that are lies, some things that are not true. So God has to unmake a lot of that. He needs to transform us from the inside out. That's the invitation. Hey, kiddo, I get it. You're doing your best, but I want to make you into what I built you to be, because that will release the full you to walk with me. Number four, call of God is a very simple one, but complicated in reality, and that is follow me. Follow me. Jesus issued out to all of those that would listen. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, walk with me. There are certain things you can only learn about me when you're walking with me. I'm going to give you a new revelation, but it's right over there. You're not going to learn it here. I want you to learn this truth here, and then you walk a little bit forward, and I give you another truth. And you walk a little bit forward, and I give you another truth. I want you to learn my lifestyle. I want you to learn my habits. I want you to learn my patterns. I want you to learn my priority list and my agenda styles and how I handle my calendar. I want you to learn the way that I interacted with humanity. I want you to learn how I interacted with the world around me. And that's why we study the life of Jesus so much, because he gave us a concrete, tangible example of what full humanity looked like in submitting to God. The fifth and final call that we're going to cover this morning is this: partner with me. Partner with me. This is the invitation to mission. This is building the kingdom of God, doing ministry, both natural and supernatural. This is when we go out and serve people and transform lives. This is the idea of active ministry to others. God's got so many people to love on, so many things to transform, so many amazing miracles to wield, so many gates of hell to storm. He just wants his kids to come do it with him. So we don't just follow him, but we also partner with him. Apart from that first invitation, these are all daily. They're all intermixed, and there's different things that God wants to work on in different times. Sometimes he's saying, hey, kiddo, I need you to deepen your prayer life. Sometimes he's saying, hey, kid, I just need you to stop praying and talking. I need you to go out and do something. Then sometimes he's going to say, hey, kid, I need you to understand this about me. And sometimes he's going to say, you know what? There's actually a practical task I need you to do today. These are daily. We got to learn how to hear that. The reason why it's so important to answer the invitations of God is because the vast majority of people on this planet are going to die with regret because they spent their entire lives chasing after earthly stuff. Problem with earthly stuff is it stays on earth. It doesn't go with you. If you spend all of your time, attention, focused on getting stuff, it can't go with you. If you focus on money, it can't go with you. Even if you focus on the wrong types of influence or fame or power, it's not going to translate well to the next life. So God is constantly inviting us in and saying, what I'm trying to do is to do the things that you were built to do. When we say no to God's invitation, we are choosing to live a lesser existence. When we say yes to God's invitations, we are choosing the more noble way, the higher way, the grander and more meaningful way. How do we know this? Because of scriptural evidence. When God invited Noah to build a boat, it resulted in the re-rack and redesign of mankind. When God invited Abraham, it resulted in a brand new people group on the face of this planet, the Jewish people, through whom God would come into the world. When God invited Moses to partner to rescue his people from Egypt, it gave Moses a front line, a front view of some of the greatest miracles that have ever been wrought on the face of the earth, and allowed him to talk with God face to face. When God invited David to be king, Israel suddenly became the nation it was supposed to be. When God invited Naaman to wash in the nasty river seven times, he came out cleansed of leprosy. When God invited the prophet Elisha to take over Elijah's place, he received a double portion of power. When God invited Nehemiah to rebuild Jerusalem, the Jews were able to go home. And when Jesus invited the 12 men into his brotherhood of apostles, they were allowed to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and walk on water. Why would we ever say no to the invitations of God? It's what we were built to do. But it's really hard to respond to an invitation if we didn't know it happened. But I wonder if we saw the invitation, if we got the invitation, how would we handle it? Would we handle it well? What if it was a grand invitation? What if it was something very important? How would we handle it? At the end of last year, we did a short series through the story of Jonah. Everybody remember that? Now, that was what I would call a bridge series, meaning it could have been in this year because it wasn't really an opportunity for Jonah as much as an invitation to Jonah. And Jonah didn't like his. So for those of you that missed the story, let me just recap. Thousands of years ago, God called a man that was supposed to be his primary point man, a guy named Jonah, and he said, hey, I want you to leave here and I want you to go to an enemy city, the capital, Nineveh, of the Assyrian Empire. I get it, they're brutal people. They're messed up. They're all kind of wicked. They're all kind of backwards. I want you to go in there and I want you to tell them that my judgment is coming. And hopefully, they will turn around. Now, Jonah said, absolutely not. I hate those people. I hate everything about those people. You want to talk about racism, dude? I want nothing to do with those people. They hate my people. I hate their people. That's how it works. And you know what? I don't want you saving anybody. I don't want you doing any of that. I would rather them all die. I would rather them all disappear from the face of the planet. So you can count me out. Tried to run away from God. How did that go? Not great. Ends up getting swallowed by a fish. Fish yaks him up on the beach. He's a different man for a moment. And God said, let's try it again, kiddo. How about you go now? And he was like, all right. So he goes into the city, starts preaching. The entire city repents for their sin. Like they all call a nation, a citywide fast, and they all want to change their ways. It's radical, it's crazy, and Jonah is livid. I knew this was going to happen. How dare you use me to try to save these people? I hate these people. They should all burn. And he goes and he sets up a chair, watching the city, hoping they're going to blow this process and God will burn them alive. And the end of the story. What a weird story, right? But what if it was different? What if before he received that assignment, he had a revival? What if, maybe he still struggled a little bit with racism, but God could get through it? What if now God began to say, hey, I've had grace on you. Why wouldn't you have grace on those that you say you don't like? Do I not need to give them grace as well? Are they not people I love? What if he said, you know what, Lord, you're right. I do want to do something meaningful. I am your prophet. It's what I'm here to do. Yes, Lord, let's go. What if he would have joined in and willingly went to Nineveh? What if he would have walked in those doors and said, my God is coming with his judgment. Turn from your wicked ways, and actually meant it. Because then in his ministry, we have an unheard of revival strike this city. He's preaching and people are turning their lives around. Everybody else would kill for this opportunity. Man, John the Baptist got the calling. He must be less as Jesus is greater, and then he gets his head cut off. Man, Noah preaches for 100 years. Nobody gets saved and everybody dies. Not everybody had a great ministry opportunity, but Jonah knows this is his chance, and he gets to see an entire pagan city turn over in a day. Imagine he takes that same chair and sits up, builds an altar to God, and spends his whole day praising the Lord that he got to be a part of something incredible. That's a different story. That's not how it went. So are we going to be the first kind or the second kind? God gives his invitation. Hey, I want you to do something. Well, God, that's really hard. I know. That's why we're going to do it together. Hey, kiddo, I want you to do this. Well, God, that's not very convenient. Well, sorry about that. Right? I say again, it's very difficult to answer an invitation that you didn't even know you received. Quick show of hands, how many of you have ever had an important email go to spam? Right, that's the problem. Okay. So by the time you fish that thing out, it's like too late, right? You're like, I had no idea you sent me a message. It went into the trash. Why would I go look in the trash? It's called trash for a reason. I would never go look at that. Oh my gosh, you sent that to me. I was waiting for that, but it didn't go into anywhere I could see. And that is the primary problem with the invitations of God. They're in areas you wouldn't dare to look because normally that stuff doesn't matter. I don't think the problem is ever that God is quiet. I think the problem is we're not listening. I don't know, if we don't know how God communicates, we won't know how God invites. So how does God tend to communicate to his people? When we read the Bible, it's tempting to feel like they had it easier, right? So for example, you read and it says, and the word of God came to so-and-so. And then they get these instructions. You're like, man, that would be so much easier. God, I got socials. You can reach me, right? Like, I mean, you can just text me, dude. I mean, right? It would be so much easier if you just tell me what you, hey, I want you, Barry, I need you to go to Walmart, right? And I need you to go to aisle 5. There's a dude there with one leg. You're like, I can totally find that guy. But it doesn't seem to go that way. And you go, man, why was it so much easier in the Bible? That means you didn't study. Why? Because the vast majority of all of God's communication to his people recorded in scripture is super messy, super cryptic, and almost all of it is in dreams and visions. How do we know that? Abraham's primary call to become the people of God was actually in a vision. That's weird. How do you know if the vision was legit? How do you know if any of that is true? The great story of Solomon becoming the wisest man on the face of the earth, that whole interaction with God was in a dream. And he woke up and didn't even know if it was legit. It's not easy. God even said, when I communicate to my prophets, I'm gonna talk to them through dreams and visions. And you're like, well, yeah. Well, what about Moses? He talked to God face to face. Yeah, but not always. His first conversation with God was through a burning what? Bush. I don't trust burning bushes. Every time it comes to a dream, man, I don't want to trust my dreams. My dreams are messed up. And whenever I take melatonin, they're way worse. You can't trust a melatonin dream. What's wrong with you? So it's confusing. Gideon was so unclear about what God was saying, he did 2 separate tests to make sure it was God and that he heard him right. That's how confusing it was. King David, man after God's own heart, primarily only heard God through his prophets. Nathan and Gad didn't even hear God directly. And that was his man. And even when God did talk to somebody audibly, they didn't always understand him at first. You remember the child Samuel, one of the greatest prophets of all time. He's hanging out in the temple. God calls to him audibly. He runs to his boss and he's like, what do you need? He has no idea the voice of God. He doesn't know what he sounds like. And he never would have figured it out had he not had guidance. One of the times it says, and God responded to Moses in thunder. How the heck does that work? God, give me 1 boom for yes, 2 booms for no, and I'll just start asking you random questions. All of a sudden, like a car backfires. Was that a yes, Lord? You have no idea. Elijah desperately wanted to hear the voice of God, and it wasn't loud enough for him to track on. As a matter of fact, God only came in what? A whisper. When Elisha was asked to discern the voice of God, he said, give me a musician so I can drown out all this noise and focus on my God. Here's the bottom line. God communicates all the time, but it's just not in the ways that we think are easy. Sometimes God speaks to us through circumstances of our lives, but we're not putting the pieces together. Sometimes he communicates to us through a sermon or maybe through a word of wisdom or a piece of advice from somebody that is trustworthy. Sometimes it's in the ideas and the thoughts in your mind and in your heart that resonate with you. This is how God communicates to his people, and he always has. And it begs the question, God, why are you being so cryptic? Why are you being so difficult? If you really wanted me to know your will, just tell me. Do you think God's being cryptic for no reason? I think the answer is very simple. All we have to do is look at the life of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus did the exact same form of communication. What's that? When Jesus told stories, he used a concept called what? Parables. You know what a parable is? It's a confusing story. And he did it on purpose. Why? Because it sifted out those that really wanted to know him versus those that just wanted to know information. If you tell a parable and all people want to know is facts, they'll hear the story and walk away. If they want to know the heart of God, they have to come closer to the storyteller. And they have to ask for the deeper meaning. But that means there's proximity and relationship now. God is always going to draw his people close. God does not have a hard time communicating with you. He is as clear as he needs to be. Here's the problem. You and I want it on our time frame as we're rushing from day to day. He will not play that game. To discern the voice of God requires slowing down, requires reflection, requires prayer, requires deep relationship. Then you begin to understand what he's trying to tell you. Here's what I'm saying. If you don't really want to get near God because you really don't care what his heart is and you just want him to give you information so you can live an independent life, you're not going to hear anything. He doesn't play on that. He is interested in telling you when you want to know his heart. And it's worth a pursuit. You got to push in. You got to lean in. You got to keep pursuing and say, God, show me, tell me. He wants you and I to own it. Not just get more information so we can be more religious and beat up more people with the Bible. He's not interested in any of that stuff. The best way to dial into the Lord's voice is just reading scripture. Why? Because it's stuff he said, it was recorded, it's been verified, and it's been analyzed. What that means is the more you read the Bible, the more you understand his tone, you understand the type of content he says, you understand how he interacts with people, you understand his perceptions on humanity, you understand his plans and purposes. When you know all that, then you can sift and sort the crazy, weird thoughts in your head. Because when they don't sound like God, they need to be ditched. When they do sound like God and they resonate in your spirit, you're gonna begin to dial in and know that's right. There's certain things that are gonna pop into your head, they got no business being in there, they're from the enemy. And they need to be rejected immediately. You go, well, that's really hard. You know what, it's really hard when it's only a side issue for us and we keep running from one thing to the next. Yeah, it is. God's not trying to be secret. God's trying to be close, and that's different. Do you realize that God talked to humanity verbally over a period of years? How did he do that? Jesus. Jesus is God on the planet, talking and talking and talking, giving us four recorded gospels of knowing his heart. God has never been quiet to his people unless there was something wrong. If last year we trained ourselves to see the opportunities of God, to track on the movement of God, this year is about doing something about it. Because now it's a matter of obedience. You heard the invitation, you either say yes or no. We can't play it off, right? Too often we intend the right things or we pretend the right things, but we're not doing the right things. And Jesus had something to say about that in Matthew chapter 21. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 21:28? Matthew 21:28, it's page 826 in the Bibles under the seat in front of you. If you want to track with me, page 826. And for those of you that lack faith, this is where you begin to panic and say, the pastor only now opened the Bible. Oh shoot, I'm never going to go to lunch. Pastor, do you not know what time it is? Okay, I just want you guys to know I have a massive clock staring me right in the face. I know what time it is. And look, only two papers. You're okay. Jesus told a parable. Oh my gosh, it's like a tie-in to beginning. Wow. Matthew 21:28. Jesus said, consider this, a man had two sons. And he went to the first and said, son, I want you to go and work in our vineyard today. And the son said, I will not. But afterwards, he changed his mind and he went. Then he went to the other son and said the same thing. And that son said, I will absolutely go, sir. But he did not. Jesus said, which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, well, the first guy. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John the Baptist came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw that evidence, you still didn't afterwards change your minds and believe him. That story was taught to a bunch of religious folks, Pharisees. People who didn't want to be bothered by some young guy telling them that their viewpoint of the world was wrong. They didn't want to get rattled. They didn't come to church to learn. They came to church to be right. They thought they had it all figured out. And so Jesus just became a nuisance rather than a revelation. So we told him a story. He said, you know, it's interesting because you guys are so religious. You look so right, and yet you missed me. I'm right here in your midst, and you can't even see me. You're too full of yourself to walk with me. That's a tough call. So what kind of person are we going to be when we do hear the voice of God, when we do hear the invitation of God? You go, man, to be honest with you, Pastor, that's tough for me. I hesitate a lot. I don't think God is mad that you hesitate. He knows what he's working with. He knows he's working with human beings. He knows he's working with, we're not even tracking on his voice in general, so everything comes out of the blue. God, oh my gosh, why would you ask me to pray for them now? I have already finished my latte. Had you got me earlier, I totally would have done it. I think he understands that some of us plan our lives so much we don't have any room for him to call us. I think he understands that we're scared to get out of our comfort zone. I think he understands that we're more worried about what other people think than disappointing him. And I don't think that's what breaks his heart. I think what breaks his heart is even after we reflect on it, we get over ourselves, we still don't do it. I think it's the disobedience that gets on him, not the hesitation and fear. I think the hesitation and fear seems pretty human. And I'll be honest with you. Man, God has asked me to do all kinds of stuff, invited me into all kinds of ministry. Gosh, a bunch of that I said no. Do I regret that? Of course I do. Will I do it again in the future? Probably. Am I proud of that? No, I am not. But I'm trying to grow up. The truth of the matter is that we are not here on this planet for ourselves. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know about that. I mean, this is the only life I got. Well, I disagree with you. If you are a child of God, meaning you asked Jesus Christ to save you, to cleanse you of your sins, he made you a child of God. That meant your eternal life started instantaneously. You're not waiting for anything. You got your eternal life already. It already began. It is only glory to greater glory now. In other words, you're already in contact with your God. You're already in relationship with him. What do you think heaven is? More relationship with him. You've already been given a new identity. You're already a new person inside. You've already been cleansed. You've already been given grace. You've already been given forgiveness. You've already been given authority. You've already been given power. As a matter of fact, you've been given everything you need loaded up front. So this life doesn't have anything for you. This world can't give you anything you don't already have. What? Is more money going to bring you happiness? You already have it. What? Is a relationship going to give you joy? You already got it. There's nothing this world can give you that you don't already have in Jesus Christ. And so what that means is, from a full perspective, we can now walk through the world and say, man, I have plenty of time to do my fun stuff. I've got the rest of eternity. God, what do you want me to do today? Because the rest of the world that does not have Jesus, they operate off lack. Oh man, it's my only life that I got. I gotta hurry up and use and abuse and take and consume. That they're the ones around us that are saying, I'm craving, I'm needing, I'm wanting. We're not those people. We've got it all. As a matter of fact, we're so loaded, we should be the ones going, man, I got a car full of gas. I just wanna go somewhere. God, what do you want me to do? I've been waiting for an assignment. I gotta go. Let's do something. Let's do something. Let's do something. Y'all, we don't need more. We got plenty. We just need the invitation of God to pull the trigger. We ordered the bulletin covers for the rest of the year. They're coming in this week. When you come in next week, here's what you're gonna notice. In the corner of our bulletin, it will be perforated. And on that perforated portion, we'll have the service times and the address of the church. That's an invitation card that you can tear out every week and hand it to somebody. The point is just a constant reminder that you have what you need to invite those that need, right? And actually, every single week, we're gonna barrage you with opportunities and invitations. Hey, how about you become part of our men's ministry? Hey, how about you become part of our women's ministry? Man, I would love to invite you into a small group. Man, we would love to invite you into doing something with this class or into this conference, right? We got a million things for you. So there's a bit of a warning I wanna issue out to you. There are some of you that are little overachievers, squishies, and you're gonna try to say yes to everything. Please don't do that. These are invitations, but you only say yes to God invitations. When he says go, you go. Otherwise, your response is, that's really nice. Thank you for the invitation, not today. Because it's not your time. I'm not interested in this being the year of burnout. Right? I don't need the year of bitterness. I don't need the year of exhaustion. You say yes only when God says you say yes. Everything else you pass on, because we're gonna keep going. Your first invitation is next week. We're gonna kick off a brand new series, have somebody with you, if that is possible. Remember, your job is not to make them come. Your job is to be loving and kind and invite and leave it up to Jesus. Our job is to be loving and winsome. Our job is not to force anything. That's not our role. So do we have a lot of opportunities? Yes, but even more so, we're gonna have direct invitations. Hey, I want you to step up into leadership. Hey, I want you to begin to look at things a new way. Hey, I want you to handle your marriage different. Hey, I want you to be a different kind of parent. We're gonna have a lot of invitations. This is your chance to keep saying, God, what am I hearing that you're telling me to do right now? And I will say, yes, Lord. Does that sound like something you can do? Yeah. Can I have the prayer team come on up here? To me, I've been so excited about walking into this year and just knowing everything that's on the table and how much it's gonna change us. I just can't wait to get going. So next week, we get going, right? As the prayer team comes on up here, just remember they are here specifically for you. If you have anything on your heart that you want someone to help pray breakthrough on, please do not leave here without getting some prayer. They love it when you come up for prayer. So maybe you can just come on up, wait for anyone that is available, and just say, Lord, would you answer my prayers through this person? They can do their best. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We're thankful for every single thing you've given us. We have more than enough. Lord, thank you that you have given us abundantly so we don't have to crave and long for. God, if we're still having those types of cravings, I just pray, Lord, that you would fill them in a way that only you can. Holy Spirit, as you invite us into partnership with you, would you give us the guts to say yes and do it? Would you be the one that is constantly poking at our memory to say it's time? God, if there are any of us that you want to elevate into a different assignment, any of us shifting into leadership, any of us beginning to take on new roles and responsibilities, I just pray that you would anoint us for the task, that we would not carry extra weight as much as we would carry extra authority. And Lord God, in our homes, would you allow us to be the moms and dads, the kids, the sons and daughters that we should be? Help us to walk into the more that you keep designing for us, that 2025 would be life-changing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a wonderful weekend.